6 in your Bible. Thank you, Destiny and Mrs. Barger and James. That was such a blessing. The Gospel record of John, chapter number 6. I'm so thankful for Pastor for allowing me the opportunity. If you're our guest tonight, we hope that you would come back on Sunday and hear our pastor preach. And we miss him when he's not here, but we're praying for his healing. And I pray that he's back with us here very, very soon. How many of you love the new theme for this year, All In? Amen. And God's using this church in an amazing way to be all in for Jesus Christ. And I believe the greatest days of this church are yet ahead. And it's a blessing to be a part of it. I can't wait for Jubilee and for Easter Sunday. And there's so much around the corner. And can't wait to see what God's going to do. And these are exciting days, aren't they? Amen. These are the good old days. God has not changed. Amen? And so praise the Lord for that. Aren't you thankful you have a Bible? John chapter number 6. My son came home with a balloon a few weeks ago. And it laid there in his room for a few days, and he came downstairs one day, and it was deflated a good bit. He said, "Daddy, this balloon needs to read its Bible more. It's shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. Read your Bible, pray every day, and it'll shrink, shrink, shrink. This balloon needs to read its Bible more. Come on." But praise God that we have a Bible, and we'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day. I'm going to start reading in John chapter 6 and verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Wish I could spend a lot of time there in verse 4, but we'll continue verse 5. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" If you're in the habit of marking or underlining things in your Bible, I like to ask you to underline the first little phrase in verse number 9. It'll be the title of tonight's message, our topic, our theme. It's the first few words of verse 9. There is a lad here. And I'd like to kind of subtitle this message, Lessons from the Leftovers. Lessons from the Leftovers. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come to you tonight thanking you for a Bible. Thank you that the Bible never changes. Thank you that when we turn to it, thousands of years later, it can still change our lives, and we could see things fresh from your word. I pray that you'd use me tonight. I pray that you would just help me to say only what you would have me to say, and help me to say only in your power what you would have me to say is my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask all of this. Amen. As a general rule, I would suppose that most of us kind of have a love-hate relationship when it comes to leftovers. For me personally, I do not enjoy leftovers. Is anyone with me? You do not enjoy leftovers, okay? The rest of you are crazy, all right? For some of you in this room, you enjoy and you love leftovers. But I think we can all agree that there are only a few foods that get better as they are leftovers. One of the few things that I've enjoyed as a leftover is my wife's dish, Zuppa Toscana. And she puts Olive Garden to shame with this thing, okay? Look at the green in there. Can you believe that I enjoy that? It's a miracle, all right? Kale, amen? Only reason I like it is because you can't taste it, okay? Amen? Boy, that thing is good. And the next day, it's really, really good. But in general, food does not get better with time, especially with multiple reheatings. But did you know that in John chapter 6 tonight, the Savior, Jesus Christ, his view of leftovers is the exact opposite of our view of leftovers. Jesus begins with the main course, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he ends feeding between 15,000 and 20,000 people plus 12 baskets full of leftovers. Jesus ended with more than what he began with. And when we look in the refrigerator tonight and pull out the leftovers, most of the time it's not as good as the first time we had it or when we ate it. But what God shows us tonight in John chapter 6 is simply this. God can take anything insignificant and make it wonderful. God can take the little and make it usable, divinely usable. And God can take the leftovers and he can make it plenty. And based on the authority of the Bible, if God can use this little lad, you better believe that he can use you too. Significantly enough, this is the only miracle of Christ that is recorded in all 4 of the gospel records. I believe that God has something important that he wants us to know here. Don't you agree? Many of us in this room, we were taught this Bible story as a little boy, as a little girl in Sunday school. I can still hear my Sunday school teacher saying, "Boys and girls, bring what you have to Jesus, and he will what? He will use it." And there's so many lessons that we can learn in this text of Scripture. I could be here all night, but there's none of you that would want to be here all night, as spiritual as you are, okay? But there's a few lessons that God wants us to challenge with tonight, and there's a few things that God has personally challenged me. There is a lad here, amen? Lessons from the leftovers. What's the first lesson we can learn tonight? If you're taking notes, number one, I'd like you to see Jesus has a heart for people. Jesus has a heart for people. Can I ask you to look with me at verse number 5? Look at verse number 5 one more time. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Jesus has returned to Galilee region and crossed over the eastern side. And so Jesus is sitting now with his disciples in this mountain, and he looks up and he sees a great multitude. The great multitude has followed him, having witnessed his earlier miracles. And most commentators agree that between 15,000 and 20,000 people were gathered here in this mountain with Jesus and his disciples. And what does he essentially say to Philip? What can we feed these people? They must have been independent Baptists, okay? What can we feed these people? Lesson 1, Jesus has a heart for people. You see, Calvary Baptist Church, the very heart of Jesus, the very heart of our Savior is people. See, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the Gospel of Matthew, we see this very same account of the same miracle. And the Bible says this in Matthew 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them." You see, when Jesus sees people, he views them not as annoyances. Jesus views them as appointments. Sadly, there are some churches in Stokes County and there are some churches in our country that miss the whole point of this miracle. This miracle is not about feeding the hungry. This miracle is all about giving hungry sinners the bread of life. It's not about feeding the hungry or felt needs. It's about giving people that are lost the very bread of life. It's not feeding people that will bring change. It is getting the gospel to people that will bring change. In a few short verses, Jesus is going to depart himself to pray, and the disciples get stuck in a storm. Most of you have heard this account in Scripture. And so Jesus comes and calms the storm, and then the next day, this crowd finds Jesus again. Look with me in chapter 6 and verse 26, the same chapter. Would you look at verse 26 with me in the same chapter? The same crowd. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Jesus is going to use this miracle to teach a lesson. But now look at verse number 35 in the same chapter. Would you look at it with me, please? Verse 35. "And Jesus saith unto him, I am the," what's the next three words, church? "Bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I thank God for the day when I was 11 years old that I received the bread of life. And I've never spiritually hungered again because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. Jesus is saying, what you do not need is physical bread. What you do need is the bread of life. You need me, the eternal bread. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You see, Jesus was all about one thing. He was about getting sinners to himself, getting the gospel to sinners. Lesson number one, Jesus, he has a heart for people. When we read in Scripture that Jesus was moved with compassion, it was a deeply felt emotion that led Jesus into action. Jesus didn't just have an emotional feeling or shed a tear for a lost soul. Jesus did something about it. He loved people. Jesus loved sinners. His compassion motivated him to do something. A friend of mine in Kansas, Pastor Tyler Prater, he recently made this statement that challenged me. Biblical compassion does not just break your heart. Biblical compassion will move your feet. Biblical compassion doesn't just, oh, that's very sad. It will not just break your heart, it will move your feet. You may sit here tonight sensing the need for compassion or sensing the need for the lost around you that need Jesus Christ. You may leave here tonight touched and even agreeing that souls are perishing and going to hell. But true compassion doesn't just see something and feel sorry about it. True compassion says, let me do something about those that don't have Jesus Christ. You see, how you view sinners determines how you will pursue sinners. If you see sinners as disgusting or as outcasts, you will not pursue them. You will get nothing, you will want nothing to do with them. If you see sinners as, ooh, gross to you, you are not reflecting the heart of Jesus Christ. But if you see sinners as someone that Jesus Christ died for, you will go after them. You will love them. You will be moved to compassion for them. It is time, and right now is the time, for Christians to stop talking about how awful the culture is around us. And it's time for Christians to start talking about how awesome and how wonderful Jesus Christ is. Listen, our America does not need a political figure in 2024. Our America does not need a Republican to fix our culture in our country. Our America needs Jesus Christ, and it needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I can have 20 Republican yard signs in my yard, but never tell my neighbor about Jesus Christ, I have zero compassion for the lost around me. If all my neighbors know is all he votes conservative, all he votes red, I don't have true biblical compassion. I just want everyone to vote the way that I do. Voting is wonderful, and I will never miss one. But we must get the gospel to all people. May God forgive us as Christians for having our priorities messed up. May God forgive us. We must remember that souls are perishing and going to hell without Jesus Christ, and it's our job to get out the gospel. There was another mass shooting today during the Super Bowl parade for the Kansas City Chiefs. And right now, there are lawmakers in D.C. and in Raleigh who are yelling and they're wringing their hands, trying to figure out how to make more gun laws and how to stop all these shootings. And what they forget or what they do not know is that you cannot legislate what only the gospel of Jesus Christ can fix. You can't legislate that. It's only going to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to know how to stop all the mass shootings? Get people the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how. Real change can be effected. Jesus never said that it's our job to fix the culture. Jesus said that it's our job to preach Christ and to preach Christ crucified. And when Jesus saw this multitude staring at him and coming to him, his heart was immediately saying, "What can I do to get sinners to come to me?" And there's so many of us, including this preacher, who are so often consumed with our own agenda, and we're so less concerned with what that sinners are dying and going to hell without Christ, forgetting that we too used to be there. I remember in 2012, my very first year on staff, there was a husband, a wife, and three little kids that came into our foyer, and they were needing food and they were needing money. It happens often, and we always try to show the love of Jesus Christ and show compassion. And Pastor was dealing with the need there, and I was walking around. He said, "Tom, why don't you show this family, give them a tour around the church?" And I walked him into the auditorium. This is 2012. And a little boy, 8 or 9 years old, he looked up in the baptistry. And he said, "Mom and Dad, what is the letter T doing up there on that wall?" Stokes County, the Bible Belt, King, North Carolina. The truth is this, there are people all around you that need Jesus Christ. And all they see when they see that is they think it's the letter T. And what they need to know is that Jesus Christ died for them, that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for them and rose again. And they need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're all around us if we will only be sensitive to the people around us that need Christ. And can I ask you tonight, does your heart for sinners reflect the heart of Christ? If sinners make you squirm or say, "Ew," you are not reflecting the heart of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw sinners, when he saw the multitude, he wanted to do everything possible to get them the bread of life. Lesson number one, lesson from the leftovers, Jesus has a heart for people. Aren't you glad Jesus had a heart for you? Number two, what's our second lesson? Jesus is looking for willing servants who will be all in. Jesus is looking for willing servants who will be all in. Look at verse number six as we walk our way through this chapter. Verse number six. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." He's trying his disciples' faith, even though Jesus knew what he would do. Verse 7, "Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they?" What are they among so many? Andrew, he initially had his seed of faith. Philip saw the problem, and from his perspective, he had the solution. It was to spend a large sum of money to feed them. And Andrew, he saw a small solution, which was God's provision might solve the problem, but he then backed away too. He says, "Lord, there is a lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes." Now, I thought about getting real fish, but our office staff encouraged me to just put a can of sardines in here, okay? And they told me not to open them up, okay? But there are sardines in here, okay? Never had these before. My grandfather loved them, and I have no desire to open these right now. All God's people said, okay? He says, Lord, there is a lad here, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He said, God, how in the world are you going to take this and feed 15 to 20,000 people? And in the Bible, barley loaves were for the poor. And the Bible indicates that these fish were small enough, almost like sardines, hardly enough to feed a young boy, and certainly not enough to feed 5,000 men and between 15 to 20,000 people. What are these, Jesus, among so many? Church family, God does not want your basket. God does not want your ability. He does not want your talent. He does not want what you can offer him. He does not want your stuff necessarily. God simply wants you. There is a young lad here, a young boy here. I don't know how old the boy was. I don't know how the boy got there. I'm not sure if his parents were with him or if his mom packed him lunch. But I do know that God used this little boy and his lunch to teach us this lesson tonight. God is looking for willing servants who will be all in for Jesus Christ. Our son Silas, he enjoys listening to Pass the Pirate CDs as he falls asleep at night. And the other night, he was playing a song on his CD player, and it was a song that I remember singing as a little boy. Here were the words that Ron Hamilton wrote. God gives to all his children talents both great and small. My gifts belong to Jesus. I'll let him use them all. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful in every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give him my best. And here's the reality. There are too many Christians in this year that they're just halfway in for Jesus Christ. They're not all in for Jesus Christ. They will do the bare minimum. They will do the what's at the minimal cost. They won't be all in for Jesus Christ. They'll hear us talk about getting involved in behind the scenes and getting involved in the outreach and getting involved in the upfront. And they'll just yawn and say, oh, I'll let someone else do that. And God's looking for Christians who will be all in for Jesus Christ. There's so many Christians who have just a little toe dipped in the water when Jesus wants us to launch out into the deep and let down our nets. You see, you put 5 loaves and 2 fishes in my hands and they remain the same. They remain useless. But you put 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the Master's hands, there's no telling what Jesus Christ can do with that. And there is a lad here. God is looking for willing servants who will be all in for him. Some may look at an individual with a great singing voice, with great charisma, someone who has a big personality or a great speaking ability, and they look at that person and say, wow, God really could use someone like that. And you see, the truth is God is not interested in our ability. He is not interested in our talent. He simply wants you and all of you. It's interesting here that Jesus chooses to not use the disciples. He chooses to use a little boy to teach us a lesson. During COVID, we had to cancel our missions revival and just do it online. But Bob Green made a statement that day on that online service that helped me. Here's what he said. God doesn't use the able. He uses the available. God does not use the able. Who's able in here tonight? Would you raise your hand? All of us are able, but are you available? This lad, he was all in. Amen? We could say this boy was all in for Jesus Christ. He was available, and God used him. Robert Murray McShane said, it's not great talent that God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ. Early this past Sunday morning, Laura Clodfelter called me that her husband Joe had passed away. And so Pastor and I immediately got into his truck and drove over to their home. And while we were there trying to give comfort to the family. I saw an award that was on one of Joe's tables that Pastor had given to Joe in 2019. Here's a picture of it on the screen. It's called the Faithful Servants Award. And if you knew Joe, sitting right here, you knew him to be a very quiet man. He did not have a loud, vibrant personality. He was not a big public speaker or anything. He never taught a Sunday school class, never sang a solo. But for over 30 years, every single Saturday, he spent hours over here at Calvary putting diesel in the church buses so that little children could come to church and hear about Jesus Christ. He was never out front. He was not that kind of guy. He served behind the scenes. One day, there was a little girl named Tiffany that rode one of those yellow missionaries, the church bus. And in 2011, she became my wife. You see, it took a church that would willingly, financially give. It took a bus driver. It took a bus captain. It took bus workers. It took a church loving her and wrapping their arms around her. But it took a Joe Klotfelter, who for 30 years simply said, God, here's my basket. God, I know I don't have this loud personality, but God, I want to be available for you. God, here's my basket. It's not much, but I want to be a willing servant who wants to be all in for Jesus Christ. Lord, he said, I'm all in. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, but do with it as you please. And see, here's the thing. God's not looking for someone oozing with talent and ability. God's not looking for the able. He's looking for the available. I want to ask you tonight, are you available to Jesus Christ? You just go ahead. You put your basket in the Master's hands. You just go ahead and watch what Jesus Christ can do with your basket. He'll multiply it more than you can ever imagine. Lesson one, Jesus has a heart for people. Excuse me, Jesus has a heart for people. Number two, Jesus is looking for willing servants who will be all in for him. Number three, what's our third lesson we learn? Jesus can take your little and he can make it much. Jesus can take your little and he can make it much. Now, we did not read this text earlier, but I want you to look with me at verse number 10 through 13. Verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Is that humorous to anybody else in here? Make the men sit down. Jesus said, listen, I got this, okay? Guys, sit down right now, please, okay? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Then they were filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. What is that? It's the leftovers. Gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gather them together and fill 12 baskets with the fragments that the 5 barley loaves and which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Hey, little side note for all of us tonight. When Jesus gives you what he can offer, it always is over and above. Amen. In verse 11, the Bible says the 15 to 20,000 gathered had as much as they would. They had all they wanted. How many of you love meals like that? Amen. You can eat all that you want. And then in verse 12, the Bible says they were filled. The word here gives us the sense that they were satisfied. Do you ever eat so much and someone comes to you and asks, would you like more? And how do you usually reply? I can't eat another what? I can't eat another bite. Unless some Reese's peanut butter cups or some peanut butter pie or lemon meringue pie comes out, some dessert, then we can eat some more. Amen? So now Jesus instructed his disciples to gather up the fragments, gather up the leftovers. Truly, Calvary family, When God supplies, it's always exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ask or think. 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered together. Not only did Jesus turn a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fishes into a satisfying meal, he also made another so that there was 12 baskets left over. He made more so there was 12 baskets left over. Truly, little is much when God is in it. God can stretch our meager resources into meeting our every need. God can stretch our meager resources to meet our every need. You see, a basketball in my hands is worth $35. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is about $15. A baseball in Hank Aaron's hands is worth about $19 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in my hands, that's a couple of fish sandwiches, amen? But 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in the hands of the master, in God's hands, it can feed thousands. It depends on whose hands it's in. And you may sit here tonight and you may say, I have nothing that I can offer my God. And I would say, you're right. On our own, we have nothing that we can offer God. But when we place, listen, when we place our nothingness in God's hands, there is no telling what God can do with our basket. Jesus can take your little and make it much. For little is much when God is in it. All of you have a hymn book close by in front of you. I'd like you to take that out and look at number 397. Could you do that with me? Take that hymn book out in front of you and go to 397. If you can't count that high, look to the person to you to the left or right and just try to act like you know what you're doing, okay? 397. 397. Kitty Suffield penned the lyrics and the music of this hymn, Little as Much When God Is in It, in 1924. Kitty Suffield was one of the people who encouraged a very shy George Beverly Shea to use his talents for God. Can I encourage you? Look with me at verse number 1. In the harvest field now ripened, there is a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Verse 2, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? Nursery worker, children's church worker, people that fill up the buses, that straighten the cards, that write notes of encouragement every week, that do something that no one ever sees or gets recognized for, never gets on this platform. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? Verse 2, it is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? Anyone like that in this room tonight? Anybody? Come on now. You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, won't that be wonderful? He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child. Well done. I know you want to sing it, so let's sing the chorus. Ready? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. You put 5 loaves and 2 fishes in my hands, it remains the same. You put 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the master's hands, there's no telling what that basket can lead to. There is a lad here. Jesus has a heart for people. Jesus is looking for servants who will be all in. And Jesus can take your little, and he can make it much. There is a lad here. What can God do with your leftovers? Why don't you try putting your leftovers in the Master's hands? Won't you just try and see what God does? Little is much when God is in it. Lessons from the leftovers. Can I ask all of you to close your eyes where you're seated there for a few moments? So we have a time of response and invitation. Maybe tonight you come into this auditorium and you hear about this giving yourself to Christ. And maybe you've never received Jesus. Maybe you don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And tonight you're in a wonderful place filled with people that love you, but most importantly, Jesus Christ loves you and He died for you. I'll not embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Maybe you'd say, Tom, I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know that when the day I die, if I will be in heaven. And I'd like you to pray for me. Tom, would you pray for me? I don't know Jesus, but tonight I would like you to pray for me. Maybe you would like to know Jesus tonight. Would you raise your hand? Tom, pray for me. I don't know Jesus Christ. Anyone at all? Tom, pray for me. Okay, here's my second question. Tom, I want God to use me. I need to be compassionate for the lost around me. I need to see people as Jesus sees me. I want to be like this little lad. I want to give God my basket. I want to give God my loaves and fishes and see what God can do with it. And I want to rejoice in taking that little and seeing God make it much. And God's helped me, and God's challenged me in this message tonight, and I wish that you pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to be all in for Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Bless His name. Praise God. Let's stand together across the auditorium. Won't you come to this altar?